It has been people that we have had some kind of close relationship with. Maybe spouses' names on that piece of paper. Children's names. Relatives' names. Might be names on that piece of paper of people whom you have worshipped with. Or worked with for a while. Or maybe been a neighbor for 30 years and you just have had a whale of a time having forgiveness in your heart toward them because of something they've done. And that was quite an eye-opener. And he said, quoting from Matthew's gospel, that the angel told Joseph something very important. Give the baby the name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And this teacher said the forgiveness of sins was why Jesus came. That's why he was born. To take care of that issue between us and the Lord, between us and other people. And it's a critical issue. It's a crucial issue. When Jesus taught about prayer, for example, he said, when you pray, pray like this. One of the issues he hit was forgiveness. Lord, forgive us our debts. And then the tough part, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Wow. When early believers came to Christ, early as in the 200s A.D., they would give a testimony before they were baptized. They would stand up and say what was important to them about the Lord. And some of that was put down in a teaching form that they committed to their hearts. And they said, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. And later on in their little testimony, they said, I believe. And they would mention some things and they would say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That came to be known as the Apostles' Creed. Christians say that, not just to recite something to memorize in their head, but because hopefully it expresses how they feel about the Lord. People do that. But it's the forgiveness of sins. And I'd have to say as a Christian, fellow Christian, with you as a pastor, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And that work does do miracles for a person's heart. First our relationship with God, then our relationship with other people. And God spoke to Joseph in a dream about what Jesus was to be named. And the Lord does speak to us in our dreams occasionally. He does speak to us in our waking hours. There's some in worship service. You know, if you nod off, the Lord may speak to you in a dream there. So take heart if you have somebody snoozing around you. It might be one of those providential moments. But the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. And once he spoke to a man in a dream, he had this dream in a repeated manner, this man. He had lost a job through an unjust act and an unfair act by another person who he thought was his friend. So it was very difficult. So every time he would go to sleep, he would dream sometime during the night about this man. This man was in his basement. And in his basement, he had the man locked up in a jail cell. And he would visit that man in the jail cell and said, he would yell at the man in his dream, I can't believe you did this to me. You were unfair. You hurt me. You're wrong. You're going to pay for this, you dirty dog, and so forth. And after dreaming that for a number of weeks, the man walking around at a supermarket, he sees the man who took his job. He sees him from a distance, and he notices something about the man. The man's walking around as if he doesn't have a care in the world. He's happy as a lark. He's free as a bird. The man feels sick in his stomach about that man still. He goes home and he has one more dream. He goes in the dream. He goes down to the basement. He looks in the prison cell. And he sees himself in the prison cell. And he knows he's the prisoner of his own unforgiveness. That's crippling him and disabling him. And if you were to go in the Bible and ask, what does the word forgiveness mean? It means to be set free, to cancel the debt, to have mercy shown, and to be set free to the extent that we open the door of a jail and let the prisoner go. And forgiveness, when we practice forgiveness as we've been shown forgiveness, setting the prisoner free and discovering the prisoner was us. I was the prisoner when I didn't forgive. and didn't know how to do that. Unforgiveness is a debilitating sin. In the passage that Bill read, that second passage where God tells us, don't let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouth and have a Christ-like heart. He says, get rid of all bitterness, anger, malice. And then he talks about forgiveness. And I think in that sequence, the Lord is showing us, without the practice of forgiveness in our lives, which we're not real good at, without that practice of forgiveness, our lives will eventually be filled with bitterness, with anger, with malice toward other people. It's a debilitating sin. Someone said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Okay, but we're the one who's being poisoned by our own unforgiveness, about real hurt and about real pain that we've experienced in our life. I've found this about unforgiveness too. If I, let's say I'm on, I have a forgiving heart toward everybody in the room here except two people. This is hypothetical. And for some reason I hold a grudge against those two people. I find in my own walk that unforgiveness sours the relationship with all the rest of you. So in my mind I think, hey, I'm cool with everybody except these two irritants. But in my walk with the Lord, that unforgiveness will cut off my ability to show Christ-likeness to other people also. So it's a debilitating sin. It's the sin of unforgiveness the Lord can help us with. It's a difficult thing to deal with. And the Lord knows that. He's gracious. He teaches us about that. The disciples knew it was hard. They came up to Jesus one day and they said, Lord, how many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to show forgiveness to somebody? My brother. Notice they said my brother. Again, it's somebody close who just broke your heart or whatever. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. Once there was a servant who owed a king $3 million. That's big. You may have owed the credit company big money, probably not $3 million. A servant owed the king $3 million. And the king said, you have to pay. And the person said, no, please, show mercy on me. I'll try my best to do what I can. And the king said, I'm going to have mercy. I cancel the debt. I absorb that debt in myself, and you are free. And the servant went off happy until he saw another fella who owed him $30. $30. I need that money. I want that money now. You did me wrong by not paying it back. He attacked his fellow servant, had him thrown in prison. You're going to pay me the last thing. You were unfair and unjust. Jesus said, the king heard about this. And he said, hey, now you're going to deal with me about everything you owe. The weight of sin had returned to the unmerciful servant. At least it felt like that in his heart. And the point of the story is clear. The Lord, He forgives us gladly as we turn to Him. 3 million debts we owed Him. He says, I forgive at the cross. I forgive daily. I forgive in the future. And He invites us to forgive others who have significantly wronged us. And the wrong is hurtful. But to ask for His help in the difficulty. We need His help. We're forgiven by Christ that we might forgive. And if you're like an average person, you're probably not real good at forgiving. Someone wrote, we are amateurs at forgiveness. We flub it up. We mess it up. But if we remember Christ's forgiveness toward us and see our fellow sinner at the foot of the cross, He can set us free by an act of forgiveness to another person, which is really an act of our heart yielded to God, an act of our will. Some things that have been helpful for people in terms of the practice of forgiveness, and it takes a while for us to do this. Number one, to know that forgiveness is difficult and often is hard work. Because we're wiped out, we don't know what to do right away. We want to lash back. That's the logical thing to do. But Christ comes with a way that would set us free and set the other person free. Corrie Ten Boom is a Christian writer and author. I think she may have passed away just a number of years ago. Well, she was would go and speak to large groups of people because she had spent time, as some know, in a prisoner of war camp in World War II. She was treated harshly and horribly. Her sister was there too. Her sister died because of lack of basic medical care. And that was a bad thing. Broke her heart. She gets out of prison camp, is committed to Christ, and shares about the good news of Christ in her speaking. And one day she speaks to a large group. And after speaking about the Lord, His forgiveness, His goodness, a man comes up to her and says, "Thank you." Says to her, "Thank you, Mrs. Ten Boom, for sharing that good message about Jesus' forgiveness, because I was one of those guards in that camp you were in." And right at that moment, in an unexpected manner, the hurt and the pain, the sin against her and other people, it came rushing back on her at that moment as a committed Christian. And she didn't want to shake the man's hand. She hesitated. And I think she shared, she prayed a brief prayer. "Lord, I don't want to forgive. Help me. Help me to want to forgive." And sometimes that's step one between us and the Lord and how we think of another person. "Help me to want to forgive. I don't even want, this is not natural or easy for me." And she said the Lord began to help her. She did reach out her hand and still practices that forgiveness each day. It's hard work. It's costly to forgive because it's an admission that sin is present. Nobody likes to admit that. And that you've been sinned against or hurt in some manner, and we prideful people don't like to admit that either. It's costly. It cost Jesus His life for the forgiveness of sins to be passed on to us. Wow. In the providence of God and in dealing with real evil, our Lord decided not to say, when we sinned against Him, Jesus could have been born in a manger and walked around saying, "Hey, you're all forgiven, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. I'm going up to heaven, and that's that." But sin was too serious. The wrong we did to the Lord was too serious to avoid the cross. So it cost Jesus His life to practice forgiveness. And for us, it'll probably cost us something in the depths of who we are to forgive. It'll cost us our pride, maybe. It'll cost us an admission that, "I need the Lord's help. I've been sinned against, but all of a sudden I got my own sin of unforgiveness toward this other person. Now I need God's help." And it's a work that He can help us with if we ask Him for help. Lord, help us forgive as You have forgiven us. Second experience that helps people in forgiveness is realizing it's a gift from God and a daily experience. Ephesians 4:32, just a living out of this. "Forgiving one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you." I need God's help to do that. I need to ask for His heart toward other people. That often takes practice. It takes more than one try. I've found in forgiving other people, sometimes I will say in my heart, "I forgive so-and-so, Harry Schwartz, because of the wrong he did." And that, work on that with the Lord and, you know, feel pretty good by the end of the day. Go on for months. And then Harry does something again that I see and irritates me, and I think, "I still hate that guy." You know. I need to practice forgiveness to work again on my heart and say, "Lord, forgive as You've forgiven me." God forgives us daily. We certainly can forgive others daily as He teaches us and takes the lead with that. And forgiveness is stronger than unforgiveness. There's hope in that. It doesn't take too much intestinal fortitude to not forgive. You just have to be an animal. Lash back at whoever lashes at you. Doesn't take much commitment of the will. You just respond in your weak human nature. But to forgive is an expression of the strength of Christ. His forgiveness is stronger than unforgiveness. If you'd like the strength of God in your life, could you practice forgiveness with His help? It'll take more than one conversation with the Lord to bring it about. The third thing to consider about forgiveness when we pass on Christ's forgiveness to others is that forgiveness is not a setup for abuse. One good Christian writer said that forgiveness is an act of one. It's one person saying in their heart, "I forgive the other person." It's not an excuse for their behavior. "I'll forgive you, just keep doing me wrong so I can forgive more and be more like Jesus." That's not the good news. Forgiveness is strong. It calls into account the behavior that has been done. "That was wrong. I forgive with Christ's help, but I'm not going to put myself in a position to get wiped out again and again and again." Jesus died on the cross one time for the forgiveness of sins. And when wrong is done to you, it's a calling the other person to account, saying, "No, that behavior is not tolerated." Forgiveness is expressed, but the behavior is confronted. And the Lord helps us by an act of our will to set ourselves free and set the other person free. I think knowing that helps us avoid the thought of, "Well, I don't want to forgive because I'll be taken advantage of." I think it's in a biblical forgiveness you really deal with the person. And forgiveness doesn't necessarily bring reconciliation. You might forgive somebody, but decide not to be close to them anymore. You know, your neighbor's dog might bite you on the hand twice. You say, "I forgive the dog, but I'm not going to pet the dog anymore." Still forgiven. Man does wrong to you. You don't continue to give him opportunities to do that. You say, "I forgive. And I'm going to forgive you enough and love you enough to not allow you to attack anymore." That'll take some real wisdom, discernment, and probably the help of a trusted Christian friend to pray you through that. But forgiveness confronts evil. The last thing is forgiveness helps us remember in a new way. In a new way. Helps us this is how we're different from the Lord. The Lord's so wonderful, He says, when He forgives, He casts our sin into the ocean of forgetfulness. So if you're upset about something you did when you were 15 and still haunts you, you know, and you say, "Lord, I'm still upset about what happened I did at 15. God will deal with that, but He'll say, "You know, I've forgotten about that. I'd like to move on with you if you'll move on with me." Have peace about the forgiveness He brings to your heart. And so He forgets our sins. We often can't forget the sin of others because we got all of a sudden we become real good at remembering. But the Lord, He can come and help us remember in a new way, as a Christian writer, Lewis Smead, said. We see the person for who they are as a fellow sinner. They sinned against us probably not out of 100% malice, but because they were broken. What do broken, hurting people do? They lash out at other people. And it happened to be your turn when that happened to you. And to know that person is again, hopeless without Christ. To see them as a fellow sinner. Perhaps to see them at the foot of the cross with you. So I remember the action in a new way. There they are, a sinner, not doing anything but what they know how to do, sin. And unless God intervenes in their life, they have no hope. And it was the heart of Jesus at the cross who saw even our sin in that light as He prayed to the Father, "Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Isn't sin an irrational thing when it comes us to God or us to another or another to us? It's an irrational act that violates the whole creation. So Jesus prays, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And Stephen, as an early follower of Jesus, he had this heart toward other people. Even when he was being killed, just for believing in Christ. He was the first martyr. He was being stoned. And Stephen prays. He said, Lord, hold not this sin against them. Wow, what a prayer to pray when you're under attack. Could you take that prayer as your prayer? Lord, hold not this sin against them. Maybe follow it up with a prayer. Lord, help me not to hold this sin against them. That I might set myself free. Set them free out of a prison which I have them in. And walk in your ways, to walk in the light of the Lord and the forgiveness that He came to bring. I don't know about you. Next week I was going to talk about who appeared on the list of five for most people. And as people wrote in the list of five, their own name appeared on the list. Well, I could forgive other people, but myself, I don't know if I could ever forgive myself for that. The Lord has some good news for that. And as you look at your list and see the people's name the Lord may have brought to your mind, God says He can help us with that. He's forgiven us that we might forgive. Can walk out of here beginning today with a new sense of freedom. I've decided not to lash back. I've decided to forgive. With God's help, I feel good about that. I feel strong about that. I feel like a new person. I feel like this is the grace that Christ came to bring me. Wow, all of a sudden I feel closer to the Lord myself. And let the Holy Spirit help you put that into practice. Some in my life too, sometimes I've needed to forgive anonymous people. You know, you have a bad experience in a school or something, and you go say, I forgive that whole school. They weren't out to attack me, but boy, I sure walked away from that school or that work or that other neighborhood or that church or that race with a chip on my shoulder. Well, God would, He can set you free with the grace of Christ that He brings to you. And as we close in prayer, might the Holy Spirit do work in your heart as you just let Him help you taste afresh the calm of sins forgiven and pass that on to other people. Let's close in prayer just with a time of talking to the Lord together. Father, this morning we are speaking of a sin that so easily besets us. And probably it's because there's a sense of justice in our own hearts that when we see a wrong, we like to say it should be right. And then when there's a wrong against us, we say with great conviction, that should be right. And yet, Lord, You come to make it right, at least our hearts right, through the forgiveness of sins. This is a mystery to us, and it takes Your power and Your person that is often beyond our daily walk. But You came, Lord, simply to reconcile us to God, to bring forgiveness of sins. We are delighted when we're set free. Lord, might we set others free in Your manner, forgiving others just as You, through Jesus, have forgiven us. Give perseverance to those, Lord, who have been hurt terribly or repeatedly by people, don't know what to do, and You offer the good news of the act of one, of forgiveness. Enable people to do this, Lord, to walk in accountability, responsibility, not to lash back in an easy manner. And to leave You to deal with the results. Be vigilant, Holy Spirit, to talk to us about these manners. Be gentle, that hearts might be set free to embrace a loving Savior who came to give His life for us. Bless each one here this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.